You know, sometimes fact really is stranger than fiction. For instance, Elon Musk is making cars, yes, but he's also making concrete plans to send a spaceship full of people to Mars in 20 years. I mean, with any luck, you and I will be alive to see that. We could even be on the ship. Robert Zubrin says it's about time. Zubrin holds advanced degrees in aeronautics, astronautics, and nuclear engineering. He has 3 U.S. patents, 5 pending, in space propulsion and exploration. He used to work as an engineer at Lockheed Martin Astronautics. And, oh yeah, as Charles Monroe Kane found out, he is the most enthusiastic cheerleader for colonizing Mars you will ever meet.
So, Robert, I have like a really simple question to start. Are we ready for humans to go to Mars? I mean, is there an idea or an invention or something missing, or are we ready to go?
From a technical point of view, we're entirely ready. We're much better prepared today to send people to Mars than we were to send men to the moon in 1961, and we were there 8 years later. Given a serious decision, we could certainly have people on Mars within 10 years.
What is the serious decision? Who makes the decision?
Well, there's basically 2 possibilities right now. One is NASA, which has immense resources, yeah, but is not prepared to make such a decision. And the other is Elon Musk, who has much less resources, but nevertheless substantial, and who is quite decisive. So while I wouldn't have said this 10 years ago or even 5, at this point, I think that it's likely that Musk will get to Mars before NASA.
When's this going to happen? When's it going to start?
Well, parts of it have started. As I say,
when is the human foot going to land on that planet? When are we going to get there?
You can never be sure about the future, but if Musk keeps moving forward at the same rate he currently is, I would say they would land before the end of the 2020s.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 67.
So that's your lifetime, and you've earned the right to see that happen, I think.
Yeah, frankly, I was 17 when we landed on the moon, and if anybody told me then that I'd be 67 and we wouldn't have cities on the moon and Mars, I would have thought they were crazy.
Let's stay in Mars now. We're there, where people are going there. There's some different missions, so now it's building up. Why would it be good for Earth to go to Mars?
Oh, well, first is the reason that NASA gives for the science. We're going to be able to find out if life is unique to the Earth or a general phenomenon of the universe. There's the challenge, the very positive stimulus to a society given by challenge, particularly to the youth. Learn your science and you could be a pioneer of new worlds.
Right.
But then there is the Martian society itself. And I think it's going to be an engine for invention because the Martians are going to be a group of technologically adept people in a frontier environment where they're strongly challenged, where they're forced to innovate and they're free to innovate and they're going to innovate.
Yeah, of course. We have a history of that, right?
Yes, we do. I mean, here's the thing. What is the greatest danger that humanity faces? What caused the disasters of the 20th century was bad ideas. And in particular, right, variants of one continuous bad idea, which is that there isn't enough to go around. And so we have to fight each other for what is. We have to push other people aside or even exterminate them in order to take what there is. And this idea is still around. I know for a fact, because I've spoken with them, that there are people in the Pentagon in Washington who look at the rise of China and say, this has got to be stopped because if they all become middle class, they'll use too much oil. There won't be enough oil in the world. We have to stop them from developing. And if these ideas prevail, there will be more wars. Human exploration and settlement of Mars is a disproof of this theory. Okay, it shows that the resources are defined by human creativity, that we can open up whole new worlds of resources if we exercise our creativity and do it even better if we work together at it. It's the only positive answer to this thing.
You know what my wife would say if she was sitting right here right now? Because we've been talking about this recently because you're always doing this interview. She would say, hey, why should we go and screw up another planet when we haven't fixed our own first? What do you say to that?
Well, to take an extreme example, there are some people who compare humans landing on Mars to Europeans destroying the Native Americans and the bison and the redwood forests and all this stuff, okay? And there's no question that something valuable and precious was destroyed in that process. But yet, if there had been nothing in the Americas when Columbus landed, then a barren desert with no Native Americans, no bison, no redwood trees, not a single blade of grass, just a bunch of rocks with maybe a little bit of bacteria hidden under them. And they turned that into a continental nation of liberty with 1,000 universities and 100,000 used bookstores. Would anybody be picketing Columbus Day parades today? I don't think so.
Wow. So is this utopian? Are you a utopian?
No, I don't think Mars is going to be a utopia. I think it's going to be a mess, a great mess. That is to say, it's going to be a lab. It's going to be a place where new ideas are tried out, and a lot of them aren't going to work, but some of them will. And that's what we need. We need to have a place where people can go where the rules haven't been written yet, so they can give new ideas a try. And that's what Mars is going to be.
You used the word hope. I'm interested in this word. I mean, is that what we need?
I think hope is essential. Despair is the worst of sins. The lack of hope is the worst of sins because it causes you to give up striving for anything better. None of the virtues can be actualized if you think the situation is hopeless. Of what use is courage if the situation is hopeless? Of what use is wisdom if the situation is hopeless? Of what use is love if the situation is hopeless? So here's the thing. The planet isn't little. It comes with an infinite sky. Okay, the Earth is in space. And if we're not confined to just this part of space, but to have unlimited reach into all of space, then clearly we don't need to fight over this tiny corner of the universe.
Let's assume Elon Musk sends people to Mars.
Okay.
Okay, you and I are still alive. How do you think that will be viewed on Earth?
I mean, look, let me tell you something, a story. In 1969, when we landed on the moon, I was actually in Leningrad because I was a young chess player. And I was studying Russian because you had to be able to read the Soviet chess texts if you wanted to be a serious chess player at that time. And so I knew some Russians, other chess players, and a lot of Russians that I met in the street because they played chess in parks and everywhere. So I could meet a lot of people that way. And they were over the top enthusiastic about it. I mean, the leaders must have been having kittens, but the regular people there, you know, they punch me on the shoulder and say, Molodets, which is like, attaboy. They thought it was swell. We had excelled at a sport that they appreciated. And what Musk is doing is really a tremendous ad for human creativity, for freedom. What this is saying is you untie people's hands and they can do amazing things.
Wow. Sign me up. Robert Zubrin is an astronautical engineer and the author of A Case for Space: How the Revolution in Spaceflight Opens Up a Future of Limitless Possibility. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him.